Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello. Actually, fairly damp and miserable evening. And welcome to Gatecast episode 92.
You all right, folks? It's actually quite nice around here. Makes a change.
It were quite nice. I assume this weather will hit you in about 3 hours.
Well, you would think so. Yesterday I got up bright and early. I washed the car, and then I looked outside and thought, oh, God, I'm not washing the car. And it looked terrible. And guess what? It didn't rain at all.
Yeah, it does that.
Yes, yeah, so if I'd have washed the car, it would have bloody well rained. I know it.
I had plans to cut the grass tomorrow.
You got to love it. I'm planning to cut the grass.
Well, the lawnmower weighs 40 kilos, and I'm buggered if I can lift that out of the boot of my own.
Get a goat. You live in the countryside.
I live countryside adjacent.
Not quite the same thing, then.
No, countryside's at least 2-3 miles up the road.
Right.
Well, that said, when my local cinema weren't showing Green Lantern, which I had fun at, the nearest cinema to me is 40 kilometres away.
Right.
That's the nearest medium-sized town. That's like 26 miles away.
That's countryside to me.
Well, no, according to people that live around here, countryside is you can't see another house for 5 miles. That's proper countryside, that is.
Yeah, or get a decent broadband connection. Ultimate definition of countryside.
That's what satellite is for. I mean, the latency sucks, but especially not with our bloody telecom provider.
Hi, folks. This is Mike. And along with Alan, we've been considering what we should do to celebrate our 100th episode, which unfortunately doesn't sync with Wormhole Extreme. A spoof Gatecast could have been very interesting. So, maybe it's not original, but we'll do something pretty simple, which can benefit the podcast and its listeners, and the current and future contributors, be it via feedback or actually coming onto the show itself. So, all we are asking is that you send us some feedback via email, gatecastpodcasts@gmail.com, with 100th episode in the title, so we know it's specific for this competition. The theme of the feedback is simply your favourite episode of SG-1, Atlantis, or SGU, and maybe a line or two why the episode is your favourite. And yes, we will accept "because it is" as an answer. The 100th episode will be Proving Ground, which is scheduled for recording in about a month or so, so that's plenty of time, and the winner will be a random drawing during the recording session. Prize is an Amazon gift certificate of around £30 UK, or the equivalent in your local Amazon store. That would be around $50 for the US store. The competition info will only be presented during the actual episodes, no mention on the website or Facebook or even Twitter. This is to make sure that only people that listen to us natter on about Stargate get a chance to win the prize. So just email an entry and good luck.
Genre television themes of all time. Tuning into scifitv.com.
A brief piece of up-to-date news. I just received my QMX model of the F302 from ThinkGeek, courtesy of the $100 gift certificate I won from the guys over at Sci-Fi Diner podcast. This gift, and this may sound familiar, was thanks to being drawn out of a hat for sending some feedback for their 100th episode. Told you it would sound familiar. The model is beautiful. It's a bit smaller than I expected. But you can't really complain, can you? Because it didn't cost me anything. Well, I say that, it cost me £11 VAT and £11 handling charge. So ultimately, I spent about £22 on my free gift. Oh well, that's just the way it is. Thanks to ThinkGeek, and thanks to Scott and Miles over at Sci-Fi Diner.
Anyway, line is cocked and ready.
Yep, we're all set to go.
Bah, duh, on. Roar. Ooh, hey.
Straight away into the action. Oh, that's not good.
No.
You feel sorry for the cameraman there, who actually had to dive down the steps and get the shot.
Did he have to dive down the steps? Didn't they just pull it in a cage and roll it down the steps?
No, no. They had to have a human to protect the very valuable camera.
What about the very valuable human?
Margin of error in calculating planetary shift used to cause the rough ride, but we fixed it.
Obviously on a very different alien world. They've really gone to town with the filters.
Yes. Well, I don't think the alien world was that different before they arrived.
Not something to leave a few appetizers?
Right.
Yes, sir. This planet's much closer to its sun than Earth.
And we see Norse-type runes.
Indeed.
This is interesting.
Daniel, we only bring you along to translate.
I couldn't see these writings through the mount.
What's it say?
They're runic symbols, similar to the ones we found on Sumeria. There could be a connection here to the Asgard.
What's it say?
I don't know.
You think it's a protected planet?
Well, Teal'c wasn't zapped away.
There's no Thor's hammer here.
Well, it wouldn't need one if it was named in the Gould-Asgard Treaty.
Thank you, Jake, for stating the obvious.
Hey! You! Come on up.
Now do we have what looks like an Amish?
We're not here to hurt you. We're explorers from a place called Earth. You might know it as Midgard. I'm Daniel Jackson. This is,
I am Elrad, Flamen of the 39th Order of Katao.
Oh, they just pop up as if by magic.
As if by magic? An Amish appear.
We're on our way here for morning prayer when we saw a great wave burst forth from the annulus.
Annulus?
Elrad, played by Fred Applegate.
He seems familiar.
He hasn't done too much in the genre.
The name rings a bell. I'm confusing him with Christina. I wonder if he's any relation.
Not anymore. Thor loves this guy.
You know of Thor?
Oh, yeah. He's a buddy.
I'm trying to compare and contrast.
Just the name, not him.
Yeah, okay.
It is a time for rejoicing. Freyr has sent us visitors from Midgard.
Freyr is the god of sun and rain, right?
Yes, our protector, ally of Thor. Friends of the gods are welcome here.
Oh, well, we've made friends at least.
Come. Our village is this way.
He's not going to give Daniel another wife, is he?
No, I hope not.
Look at Jack sorting through it.
And of course we miss Jack's Thor, buddy. Ah, it's fairly obviously a map paint in the background. Actually see the line.
It's as if Norse culture evolved into relatively modern times while continuing to worship the ancient gods.
Filters don't seem as severe here.
Commentary that actually says it's a bleach bypass. They don't actually bleach the film negative, so it leaves the contrast blown out. It gives it just that strange look.
Yeah.
These are not just any strangers. They came through the annulus.
Annulus?
This one bears the mark of evil. He is a friend of Thor. The people will not stand for this.
You mean you will antagonize them until they agree with you?
Poor Tilt, wherever he goes.
He's not trustworthy, is he?
There's always one.
No, he's ticked off.
Friendly guy.
And now he's off to spread dissent.
Yes.
You must forgive Malchus. He has a suspicious nature, and we have never before been visited by elves.
Dissent.
Elves.
You travel by way of the gods. You say you know them well.
Norse mythology, Freyr was the ruler of the elves. They can bring good or bad tidings.
We certainly hope you have come to wish us well.
He's been called many things, but never elves. Yes, Daniel. Again, why we bring you, you should be telling us this before the fight. There we go.
Ooh.
Coincidence? Probably not.
I mean,
now, this is one area of the show they didn't quite get right.
No, now they look all like they've got bad fake tan on.
Carter, what just happened?
The Eye of Odin grows dim.
Some sort of shift in the light frequency.
Good. I thought I was having a stroke.
You did this!
He's actually right.
Yeah.
Is it true?
No.
Is it?
Did we?
No, it's not. Well, probably.
It is no coincidence that this happens moments after they arrive. The elves are the harbingers of our doom.
So much for making a good impression.
Harbingers, harbingers. The elves are going to Isengard.
Yes, this doesn't look good.
No, it looks orange. In this case, the future is maybe bright, but orange isn't necessarily a good thing.
No, no, it isn't.
Does that count as advertising?
Right. Red Sky, 1st of July 27th, 2001. Directed by Martin Wood and written by Ron Wilkerson.
Never heard of him.
I don't know if he took the position of writer and story editor for the show. Also worked on Voyager and TNG.
Right.
Yeah.
Hence the prime directive type feel to this episode.
There could be something in that, yes.
Yeah, like there could be some water in the ocean. I knew there was a reason I didn't like this episode.
I'll be fair.
Oh, come on, it's unsubtly moralistic. By Stargate standards.
And we're back. Oh, and the old TV remote control comes in so handy.
Or the scientific calculator.
You know what?
Yeah, you're right, that looks fairly crap.
Yeah, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea did it better.
Leave us or be driven out.
Malchus, the darkening of the Eye of Odin is the will of the gods. You cannot blame the messengers. We must go to the Hall of Wisdom and pray for forgiveness.
Oh, dear.
Panic.
But controlled panic. That's a maniacal sort of stare. You sound maybe possessed.
Yeah.
Is he a snake?
Hall of Wisdom, that sounds like the place where the Sumerians communicated with Thor.
That's John Prosky, plays Malchus. You've seen him recently in The Event as the alien scientist. Also in True Blood, a mentalist, a medium. So, very busy actor.
Genre TV guy.
What the heck's going on?
Somehow the light spectrum of the sun has shifted toward infrared. If it continues this way, eventually all the green plants will die. With the plants goes the oxygen supply.
Yeah.
The map should give us more detailed data. Its sensors are more sophisticated.
Good.
Red Sky. Just in case you haven't realised what the title... Yeah, it's bad.
She's lost them.
See if these folks have got an Asgard phone.
We beseech thee, O Freyr, to have mercy upon us. Make peace with our great father Odin, and in doing so, remove the terrible curse from our gentle land.
In the name of our Lord Freyr, be it so.
You normally have useful things. Was this a constructed set? I assume they just borrowed a church.
Offhand, I don't know.
You mean they didn't say commentary?
They might have done, but I don't pay attention to everything they say.
No. Sorry, it's just that you often throw these little useful tidbits in, especially about buildings.
Haven't you done enough damage here, Elf?
Some respect, Malchus.
Elf. That's never going to get old.
We're just wondering if you ever speak directly to Freyr.
He hears us always.
Right. You mentioned a Hall of Wisdom. This is it, isn't it?
No. This is a temple.
Right.
Malchus and I were about to go to the hall to seek Freyr's wisdom on behalf of our people.
Would you mind if we went with you?
We could put in a good word.
By all means. Come.
I think he sees them more as the Pratchett-level elf.
Yes.
Than the typical sort of fantasy Tolkien-style elf.
There you go, Daniel.
Bow your heads and prepare to meet our Lord.
I mean, Daniel should have figured out this was the portal to the place I wanted to be.
Lord of the Aesir, God of Katao, grant us an audience that we may share your wisdom.
That does look Thor's hammer-like.
Oh, it definitely Asgard. You see, all the ceremony, all they have to do is touch a button.
I'd better get it back.
They do like caves and dank places for...
And taking the weapons away.
Yes.
I am Freyr. For what reason have you come before me?
O Lord Freyr, forgive us for disturbing you, but we seek your wisdom.
The arrival of these outsiders has caused the Eye of Odin to grow dim. We fear it is Ragnarok.
It's the end of time.
They do, again, they do like their muscular holograms.
Mm-hmm.
It's Brian Jensen is playing Freyr.
You are wise to seek my counsel. but only through faith will you prove worthy of my benevolence.
Do you desire us to put these outsiders to death? They could be drawn and quartered before nightfall.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
I mean, they went the easy route in here. They didn't bother too much with trying to make him look like a hologram. We accept he's a hologram, so just throw some snazzy lights on him and...
Yeah, so it's not an actual hologram?
No, it's not an actual hologram.
Likewise, you must face your own fears as you now enter the ultimate conflict. How you deal with fear will prove your worthiness. I wish you...
I'm in Edinburgh in 2002. I saw 3D color holograms.
It's quite remarkable how the same recording works in so many situations.
Hmm. Oopsie. That's not a live broadcast, then.
It's a recording. Really?
Thank you, Daniel. Daniel filling in for Teok today.
I told you.
It is Ragnarok. Lord Freyr tells us to prepare for our death.
It's a bit of a negative spin with the old paraphrasing, isn't it?
I have been interpreting the word of the gods for many years.
I'm afraid I must agree with Malchus.
Yeah, he
kept the weapons.
He took from that conversation exactly what he expected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Freya actually says how you react to this situation determines your fate. So he's basically gone, we're all doomed, kill the aliens, the foreigners, the elves, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
You sure you want to get in the middle of this? I'm not sure how to get out of the middle of this.
Oh, dear.
That's probably just as bad, Jack.
Look, folks, does Freyr plant your crops for you?
No.
Does he? Huh?
No.
Does he... harvest them? Does he build your homes for you?
Those are the tasks of our own hands.
Exactly. You've always had free will before. Why not now? Maybe this ultimate conflict is just a test of your ingenuity and courage.
Why do you tolerate this?
Jump in any time here, by the way.
This is a good idea.
In the past, Lord Freyr has always told us to face our fears and not interfere with the ways of the gods.
I agree, Malchus. We must do the gods' will, but perhaps these strangers are a part of their plan.
Nonsense! They are the harbingers of our doom. Elves cannot change the will of the gods.
You never really have much luck with religious types.
Hmm. Ah, Asgard help those who help themselves.
Yes, and he does provide the rain and the wind and the sun. And...
Hmm. Purportedly. Yeah, dear.
We can help your people. We've been in this situation before. Trust me, we can work miracles.
I trust in Freyr. If you are here to do his bidding, either to doom us or to save us, then... so be it.
Ooh.
No, he really won't listen to reason, will he?
No, dear. This ain't going to end well.
Hmm. Ain't going to end for... ooh. Almost half an hour.
Yeah. That's what it'll look like to them. That's what will look like to them. Whatever Carter comes up with.
Elred is, you know, kind of the moderate, but he's still very much a devout believer. And this is open to possibilities.
Hey, fellas.
But what possibilities?
Fortunately, you didn't see who was actually pulling that cart. It wasn't a horse.
Was it Peter Dalys?
Yeah. He probably would if the job was offered to him. Yeah, I'll be.
That might be why we had a problem dialing here in the first place.
What, we should never have connected with this planet?
Well, at least not with the current planetary alignment. The light from the sun suddenly shifted to the red spectrum after we got here. As far as I know, the only way that could happen was if an unstable, super-heavy element, probably plutonium, was introduced to the sun's nuclear reaction.
Come on, Sam. Tell them what you did.
Okay, how did we do that?
Well, somehow, the plutonium piggybacked onto our wormhole from another star system, then bonded with their sun as we passed through it.
I hope that doesn't mean it's our fault.
We could not have known, O'Neill.
Sorry, I'm doing a Jack here, identical. There's things sitting on the desk. I cleared it off to stick a laptop on it a little while back, and now I can see things I want to pick up and fiddle with.
Okay.
Fiddle.
Play this sort of thing.
So, design flaw?
No.
Oopsie.
Sir, we bypassed some of the normal dialing protocols. Fact is, this planet is dying, and it's probably because of us.
But you can fix it, right?
She is smart.
Yes.
Oh, and she's got graphics, just in case the audience cannot follow what she's talking about.
The audience being Jack.
Yeah.
Demographics, that's a sketch on a bloody notepad. Which we ignored.
Yes.
In our stupid young race arrogance.
We don't ask the question, why can't we connect to this planet? Perhaps there's a reason, a bloody good reason.
No, let's fiddle with it instead.
Hey, Tilk, maybe you should hang out here. These Asgard devices don't know you like we do.
I wonder why this sort of situation hasn't occurred before. Well, maybe it has, and, you know, they're the adventures we don't hear about. When a gate comes up dead or something.
Mm-hmm. That looks like another Asgard device. It's just a gravestone.
The civilization seems reasonably advanced construction-wise. Looks like leaded glass in the windows.
Yeah, so that could be 1700s, maybe even 1400s.
Let's see, they bowed their heads and said a prayer. Lord Freyr, Lord of the A0, make the disc go straight.
Respectful, taking your hat off and the... Just press the button. Yes. Sometimes ceremony is really not needed.
I am Freyr. For what reason have you come before me?
We'd like to talk to the real Asgard. Thor, if he's available.
You are wise to seek my counsel.
Yes, we heard you the first time.
You prove worthy of my benevolence.
Yada yada. Carter, you want to pull the plug on this guy?
It looks like this is the emitter that's generating...
Oh, there we go.
That looks like a brain.
Well, we've either made contact with the Asgard or trapped ourselves deep within a vault of solid rock.
There it goes. Mm. Oh, you broke it, Sam. Not having a day, are we?
Better.
I am Freyr, protector of the Katao world.
So listen, sorry to bother you. Can we talk to Thor?
Commander Thor is in a distant part of the galaxy and unavailable.
Mm.
He's a slacker.
You were the one called O'Neill.
I'm the one.
We named a warship after you. Short-lived as it was.
Yes, that one.
Yes, didn't last long, did it, Jack?
Exploring. That's what we do.
Katao falls under our protected planet treaty with Goa'uld. I would hope you have not dispelled their current belief system. The Asgard felt it was essential.
Nah, don't worry. We haven't blown your cover.
Although it's nice to actually talk with another Asgard.
Yes.
We do have a small little problem that could use some of that Asgard magic.
Go on, Jack. Tell him.
Small, little. I like the way he kneels down at that point. Jack.
You sure Thor's not around somewhere?
Sir, if I may.
Yeah. Knock yourself out.
We may have inadvertently, totally accidentally, caused a foreign element to enter the Katao Sun.
How?
Inadvertently! You know, Kasia, you're really not good at this.
I like that. Freya's eyebrows shoot upwards.
There are safety protocols in place within the Stargate system to prevent wormhole connections that would result in such events.
Yeah. See, we have our own dialing computer, and sometimes we bypass a few steps in order to get a lock. We're still experimenting.
I see.
We could really use your help here.
I'm afraid I cannot assist you.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah, of course it wouldn't do that. The system's designed not to do that.
Freya's kind of take.
There is a whole planet full of people that are going to die.
This may be our mistake, but the Katao people depend on you. You set up their belief system. They think that you're their god and you will protect them.
From the Goa'uld? Yes.
Forget all that. Come on, we're friends. We help you, you help us. That's the way it works. Carter's idea saved you from the replicators.
Yes, he's not that.
Ultimately, the decision is not mine.
Then may I speak to whomever decides?
It is possible. Prepare to meet with the Asgard High Council.
I'm prepared. Right now, let's go.
Step into the place where I stand.
Oh, I remember this scene. This is quite a pretty scene coming up.
I'm sort of prepared.
very tight restrictions on what the Asgard can do on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you've got to admire the Gwold. When they write, you know, when they agree to treaties, they really do try to get the most out of them.
And allow as much rigmarole for them.
Yeah.
Echo!
Echo! Echo! Oh, dear.
Perhaps a few minutes just to have a talk with Sam and Daniel to prepare yourself.
Colonel Jack O'Neill of Earth, welcome to the Asgard High Council Chamber.
Yeah, listen, thanks for seeing me on such short notice. I assume you can see me.
Yes.
Jack, the King of Diplomacy.
Did Freyr mention why I'm here?
Yes, Colonel, they're aware of the circumstances surrounding your request.
Oh, hey, there you are. Didn't see you.
Mm.
You guys all kind of look...
I mean, Jack proves he's great. Just he'll throw himself into any situation, but he's probably out of his depth at the moment.
Thor's not here, eh?
He is not.
Okay.
As Freyr explained, we are unable to assist you in this matter, O'Neill. Though your actions were unintentional, it will unfortunately mean the Katao people will perish.
Hey! This is not entirely our fault. I mean, you could have warned us about this crazy gate through the sun thing. For that matter, you could have given us a list of all the planets that are off limits.
Both points are true. However, neither is reason enough to interfere.
It's actually very effective what they've done, only lit up certain sections of this room.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, you're not the Goulds, but you're still pretending to be something you're not.
You are correct. However, when we saved these people from the Gwa'uld, they were not ready to have their beliefs completely stripped away. In time, when they are ready, the Katao will learn the truth.
Yeah, see, there's the snag. They won't. They'll be dead. I don't get it. You obviously saved them once. Why not this time?
It is not that simple.
Yes, it is! You've got the technology, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. Fine.
Ooh.
You really don't want to antagonize these people.
No.
A big mistake. And we're very, very sorry. But we also saved your little gray butts from the replicators. And now we want your help.
Daniel, character's reaction to that is like, oh dear. Remind me why we sent him again?
No. We won't tell.
Unfortunately, we cannot.
They've actually got three puppets for this scene. The original Thor, an updated version, and the Freya puppet.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are other puppets.
No, they've got three. That's all they made. The animatronic puppets.
Yeah. So subsequent Asgard we meet her. So what did they do? Well, when we saw about 15 of them that time that he became downloaded knowledge of ancients.
Yeah, they were CGI.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see the three puppets there. The one that doesn't talk is the original Thor.
What?
The treaty states that the people of a planet categorized as protected will be free from Gwa'uld domination. However, subsection 42 states that the people on those planets cannot be artificially advanced through Asgard technological means.
That would be good to negotiate.
They should be taping this, just what not to say in negotiations.
And would nullify the treaty as a whole. The Gwa'uld would be free to invade any of the protected planets, including Earth.
Oh.
In that shot, the other one actually seemed to be looking at it. It was a nice distance, seemed to be glancing over, sort of going, yes.
That's what they said. The original Thor puppet had a lot of head movement, but no real fine motor control.
Mm-hmm.
So he could turn, lovely, but they just couldn't talk very well, whereas these newer puppets have a lot more actual facial features and subsequently not so much movement, and they weigh a ton. The actual head unit weighs about 80 pounds.
Eek.
So the four puppeteers working it have the work cut out.
That's why we've got a black background so you can hide the strings.
That probably helps. Writing this, Jack is actually doing his lines in an empty room and the puppeteers are doing their work separately.
All things matter together with that nice black thing in the middle so you don't know shots being joined.
It probably would ruin the effect if you could see the room. You know, it'd probably look fake. Whereas just these little bits seen, you can imagine the rest.
That's true. Adriana says hi.
Did she tweet?
No, she sent me a message on Facebook. But I've got both tabs open and they both pop up with a little one when someone happened.
So basically, the Asgard says, it's up to you guys. You broke it, you fix it.
Yeah, look, they haven't dropped a few hints.
Sir, I've been thinking.
I'd be shocked if you ever stopped, Carter.
Oh, sarcastic, Jack.
Okay.
Okay, no graphics, actual objects.
Yes, Carter. Okay, this is Jack. I need visual aids.
Yes. Any pears or melons there, Sam?
Say something with an atomic weight above 200.
Sure. I can think of a few.
Actually, they don't occur in nature, at least not on Earth. But I have read about such elements being created in super colliders, at least in theory.
You realize you're mixing your apples and your...
Oh, you don't... You know where I just went there.
Oh, come on. No actress should hold up a pear of fruit in both hands at that level. It shouldn't be done. Any director worth the salt should not let that happen.
Well, they're parsnips, they're not fruit.
How about that?
Well, this is all very theoretical, sir.
I have great confidence in you, Carter. Go on back to the SGC and confuse Hammond.
Yes, sir.
And in that shot, you could see people in the windows in the background, which is something they did for every shot, just to kind of give the village more depth. They're actually extras standing on the stepladders.
What are you going to do? I got to stand on a stepladder for 3 hours.
How you doing, George?
A rocket?
With a payload of the super heavy element I've indicated. We send it in stages through the Stargate to Katow and assemble it there. When it's complete, we launch it into their sun.
Or should I say Homer? I listened to the rap.
We have 3 months before the plutonium reaction in the Katow sun becomes irreversible. If we can launch inside 3 weeks, we'll just make it.
Have you considered other options?
The other option we consider turned out to be a 1 in a million shot, sir. The rocket gives us better than 50-50 odds.
Rockets don't exactly grow on trees, Major.
I know that, sir. However, as you know, the Air Force is currently preparing a launch from Vandenberg.
Major, do you realize how much has been invested in that project?
I'm aware of that, sir. It's hard to put a price on the Katow people.
Another option is to quietly leave the planet at night and not think about it. Wipe the mission logs. It never happened.
Colonel,
shouldn't you be off inciting a mob?
Look at the sky. Ragnarok grows ever closer. Your machine does nothing.
It's a rocket. It won't work until we launch it.
Yes, we've got a £14 billion project, and now she wants a rocket.
All they have done is bring more outsiders.
Yes. Yeah, Malchus hasn't quite got the concept of what a rocket is.
As long as you are here. If you can't see that the gods wish you to leave, then we will be forced to make it clear on their behalf.
Malchus, this is not the way of the Katow. If the gods did not want them here, they wouldn't be here.
If their presence is truly part of a test, then we have failed. Miserably.
Oh, Malchus, yeah, Malchus.
Taking our jobs.
Malchus, just go and read whatever the Katow equivalent of the Daily Mail is and be done with it.
Oh, Siler and his big wrench. Bless him. Mm. And there's our director, Mr. Wood.
What? Where?
There, with a big wrench. With the other big wrench.
Yeah, no, sorry, I was on transcript. And you don't know who the unknown extra with the clipboard is?
They actually did mention a name in the commentary. Most of the extras there have been with the show from day
Dan
one.
Dan Shay.
Yeah. Can you imagine that phone call to NASA or the US Air Force?
We're nicking your own.
Yes.
It maybe says the rocket doesn't actually work.
There's a minor hiccup, shall we say.
Quite frankly, I never expected it to be easier to get the rocket.
Sir, without the super heavy element, this whole thing will have been a giant waste of time.
Don't worry, Major.
Have faith in the General, Sam.
Yes. And I was waiting for you to throw me a name for the scientist there.
Dr. McLaren, played by Norman Armour.
Dr. McLaren.
Very impressive operation you've got here. I hope you consider yourself lucky, Major.
Dr. McLaren finally decided a peek at the SGC was worth the exchange.
I like that. They actually had to let him in on the secret to get the element they needed.
It took me 5 years to make that much HU-2340.
Well, maybe one day you'll be able to visit the planet that your McLarium is saving.
And then they grease the wheels by calling the element after him. Yes.
Sounds like a good name to me. I'll use it in my official report to the Pentagon.
I'm sure he's been in other stuff. He's got a very recognisable face.
He has. He's got a very
distinctive.
Yes. He's been in Supernatural. You've probably seen him in that. Of course, it's going to take him another 5 years to have enough to actually show anybody else.
Yeah. I got an element named after me. Woohoo! Because if you looked at the periodic table before the UCP came in, you have things like Americanium and Einsteinium. I swear to God, there's some seriously dodgy element names up around 225, 228, 230 until they actually standardized it.
Oh, that doesn't look good. That's not good at all.
Is that smoke?
Darius blew the damn rocket up, didn't he?
Jack, not happy. Doesn't need his gun for this. This is personal.
Fire.
Is anybody hurt?
We lost two members of SG-6. The rocket was destroyed.
Stupid son of a bitch!
The gods have spoken.
You just killed two of my men and screwed your whole planet!
Two of our brothers also gave their lives to serve the gods.
Crazy.
You coward! Why didn't you do it yourself? Why?
I would gladly die to serve the gods.
No! Jack!
Sir!
Stop! Please! No. I'm truly sorry for what has happened. You must believe me. Malchus acted without my knowledge. He will be punished. Please! More death serves no one!
You just don't understand that attitude.
Yeah.
If he believes that the gods have destined this world to die, why help it along? Reminiscent of the movie Contact. Or the book Contact, of course.
Never saw the end of Contact. I fell asleep an hour and a half in.
Pity, that was the really only interesting bit.
I know, there's so much boring beforehand, I couldn't stay awake.
Yes, you really see Jack that pissed.
Yeah.
Imagine Tilt there, just putting the boot in a bit. But then again, the guy just murdered two of SG-6 and pretty much condemned this whole world to...
Yeah, Jack. Oh, that looks sore.
Well, I suppose when a few thousand gallons of rocket fuel blows up, there's going to be casualties. Jack basically, let's go home.
Jack, stop! We can't leave.
No, we can't. Carter, dial it up. Get these people home.
Sir.
That's an order.
Jack, would you stop?
They killed two of my men.
Yes, they did.
Jack's really not happy.
But not all these people are responsible for that. And even the ones that were just doing what they believed was right.
I really don't care.
Well, I do.
Getting a bit probably outvoted here, Jack.
Yeah.
And leaving right now would be irredeemable.
In whose eyes? The Asgard, they had their chance.
Sir, I essentially pressed the button that could end this civilization.
All right! We made the first mistake, but we were going to fix it. Is it obvious only to me that these people don't want help?
I couldn't live with myself if I just walked away now.
I do not believe the majority of people of this world support the actions of Malchus.
Bit more Jack Daniel conflict.
Not you as well, Tilk. You probably think I could always rely on Tilk.
What then?
Relocate them.
You think so?
The ties to this world are strong, you know, Jackson.
Some of them are willing to blow up their only chance of survival. How likely is it they'll move?
That's their choice.
Sir, we still have the McLarium. With your permission, I'd like to return to the SGC and run a few more simulations.
Go on, Jack. Go on. I hope that's his daughter, not his wife.
Could be the same.
Okay, I know this world has been your home for generations. But it looks now like the Eye of Odin will not be restored.
That is for the gods to decide.
Right.
When you actually believe your god's going to have that much influence, why would you get out of bed? Seriously.
The chance to move to another world.
In fact, you almost imagine that they wouldn't have actual agriculture. They'd be just hunter-gatherers, probably just gatherers, whatever grew their god provided. If, you know, if they have a bad winter, well, that's it.
Then we're all dead.
He does. He wishes you to leave. He's very busy right now, and he sent us to take you our way. If you don't go, you will all die.
Your efforts are noble. But if our destruction is the will of the gods, we must face our fate bravely.
Nice try, Daniel, but it just ain't working.
And off they go. We're gonna go die now. Bye.
Yes, Jack. He's not exactly smirking, but it's not far off. What was that on the soundtrack, or was that you?
No, that was me.
Now can we go?
I could tell we're not convinced.
Nope. Because you didn't say what needed to be said.
Well, what would you have said?
I say we bring Zack guns, we shoot them all, we take them through to another planet and wash our hands on. Look at this. I wasn't grey when this episode started.
Hey, folks. Join me over here. Come on.
Oh, dear.
Hold on in here, folks. I got a few things I want to say.
What are you doing?
Telling them the truth, Daniel.
Whether or not God really exists is not as important as whether or not a belief in God really exists.
You wouldn't be saying that if we were talking about a ghoul.
We're not talking about a ghoul.
Have we not made our position clear?
Yes. Yes, you have. I just don't think we've made ourselves clear.
Jack, the Asgard
are not gods.
Not going to make any difference, Jack. Seriously, you think it will?
Hi, folks. Listen, you all know Freyr, right? Big guy, kind of good looking, a lot of fancy gold armor. Well, here's a flash for you. That's not what he looks like.
What do you mean?
Handy little soapbox.
He's an alien who's been pretending to be your god.
Duh. To say you're a heretic and sent to test their fate.
He doesn't have a chariot. He's got a spaceship.
Yeah, there's actually no room for bending with the level of faith these people have.
Big machine like the one we were building, only his is way better. And not blown up.
Yeah, not blown up.
Important point, that is.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to fly a spaceship that's been blown up. Yes.
My guess is most of them have never seen Freya. Mm.
Toothpicks.
Toothpicks.
They don't know what twigs are.
You wait till Thor hears this. You're not making friends, Jack.
They think you need to believe in a god. That you're not developed enough as a culture to think for yourselves.
Enough.
Elrod, listen to me. These aliens have the power to help you. They chose not to.
Dear.
I am sorry for what happened to your people. I know you think you are trying to help us, but please, it is time for you to leave.
Oh, Jack. He's basically comforting a crazy man, isn't he? Thank you, Jack, for trying to help, but perhaps you should go now. Your strange ways are not welcome.
Hmm. We're going to go home now. We're going to leave these people to die.
Well, he's proved his point, I think.
Okay. Sorry to bother you. Thanks for your time, folks.
That's it.
There. Gave him a choice. They chose. Let's go.
Jax is almost happy-go-lucky.
He's met Daniel halfway, and he's kind of prevailed at the cost of this planet pretty much dying.
Hmm. Yes, this is character simulation. How long did that take to render? Yeah, I was going to put a tenner on Claire yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought the odds of success for this scenario were 1 in 1,000,000, Major.
Yes, sir, but I now think that we can increase that estimate to 1%.
And 1 in 1,000,000. Oh, 1 in 100. Fantastic.
Hey, that's increasing by a factor of 1,000. That's quite impressive.
Run it by me again.
I still wouldn't put any money on it. And then the...
They're remarkably straight line calculations, considering there's no ruler.
We send the Maclarium through the wormhole to Katao. Now, based on the distance from Earth and the rate of travel...
Jack gone. Zip. You can see his brain shutting down.
The eyes glaze over. I wonder, is this the following day? Because if it is, Jack's probably not feeling the best on the grounds after condemning an entire planet. He probably at home had about half a bottle of scotch.
Do you think it bothered him that much?
That you needed another Stargate to turn it back into solid matter.
Actually, you're absolutely correct, sir.
I think he doesn't show it in command.
I am?
Yes. See, it's the Stargate on the other side that actually reintegrates the matter into its pre-organized form. Without it, the energy in the wormhole would rematerialize in its base form. Now, in the case of a person, that would be very bad, but in the case of an element, it shouldn't be a problem.
I was right.
Okay. You have a goal, Major.
He keeps looking at Jack.
Jack's given General Hammond a kind of, have you any idea what you're talking about, because you lost me?
They're firing a MALP, say 1,000 light years, and they want to time it so it stops about 100,000 miles from the planet.
But what's further, how can they dial back then without causing the same thing?
Well, surely the Stargate is only inaccessible at certain times of the year where the position of the sun is.
Malp as well?
Well, how else are you going to transport it through? You can't literally throw it through.
Those things aren't growing trees.
Well, it's in a good cause. It's going to save a planet. Somehow they are actually going to the second, not the millisecond or microsecond, but...
That's not very accurate, is it?
Guess what? It might work.
Brothers and sisters, in these troubled times, it is important for us to come together as a family. We must remember the great gifts of Frere, and we must be grateful for the lives that he has given us. In this a troubled time, we must still remember.
They agreed to let us stay so long as we stop trying to tell them Frere is not a god.
And our protector.
I don't think we'll be staying.
Frere will be with us.
Did your method not succeed, Major Carter?
It doesn't look good. I think we missed.
As we can see, it's the next phase of the sun's tripped over. It's very, very red.
Mm.
They had to do a lot of colour correction on this piece of footage.
Let's go.
I think they mentioned about 14 hours in the editing room to get it right, taking into account the fact that a lot of people's televisions don't really like a very heavy red look to the picture. In the good old CRT days.
Oh, yes. Well, when the electron guns is malfunctioned.
Yes. You get the engineering. The picture looks a bit red, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's only on this program for some reason.
Oh.
Yes, you've done everything you can, Daniel.
It's not too late to change your mind about leaving.
In many ways, you go back to what Freya recording actually said.
Have faith.
How you react to this, yes, will determine what happens. And these people have basically said, we have faith in you.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens, so be it.
And forgive our sins.
We beg you, grant us your mercy and return the light that gives us life. Goodbye.
And as if by magic, and the incredibly bad special effect again.
Mm-hmm.
Am I having a stroke?
Blessed be Frere. Bow your heads and thank him for granting our prayers.
How can you argue against this, though?
I'm pretty sure we didn't do this, sir. At least not on our own.
Your god didn't do this. Yes, he did.
Mm.
No, he didn't. Prove it.
Yes, God.
They said they wouldn't help.
Overtly.
So you're saying that just by starting the process, we gave him the opportunity to step in without the Goa'uld knowing?
A way of saving face? Technical loophole?
Or not?
Yes.
Well, we'll never really know for sure, will we?
Duke's had probably 15 words in this entire episode.
Yeah, Chris Judge really didn't have to do much, did he?
Stand around and look stoic, you know, which is obviously completely against Teal'c's character, as we've established so far in the past 5 years.
Yeah, and they deliberately left it a bit vague, so you can either guess the SGC know they didn't do it, but perhaps they had a little hand in it, which allowed the Asgard to fix a problem without the Gord finding out. Or maybe, who knows, faith can move mountains.
Well, how far is now? That's still a bad special effect. That looks like that's more of a four-year-old drawing than a matte painting.
Well, they actually, when they're filming some of the final scenes, they actually made a decision to make sure they showed as little sky as possible.
I wonder why.
Because it was that difficult to get right. You throw a filter on it, a graded filter, like they use in something like CSI Miami, and it looks great, except when the filter moves down into the buildings and the trees, and then you think, that looks ridiculous.
Is CSI Miami filtered? I thought it looked like that.
A lot of the time it'll be filtered. And one aspect of the episode, on the commentary, Amanda Tapping and Martin Wood, we're talking about how they thought about actually letting this planet die just to try to reinforce the fact that the SG-1 don't always win. Well, you think it takes away a lot of suspense. You watch that, you're thinking, they'll figure it out somehow. You know, these people will live. And I wonder if this attitude was why SGU turned out the way it did. You know, they couldn't do this sort of story and have the innocent people die in SG-1 or even Atlantis. Stargate Universe, they could.
And did.
And unfortunately, a lot of people didn't like it. Right, that was Red Sky.
Indeed it was. Better than I remembered.
Oh, I say, a standalone episode. We get to see the Asgard again, which is always fun, but pretty much forgettable. They had technical issues, as you can see. It wasn't incredibly well done. They made a good try at getting the effects right. The village looked fantastic for what it was. The actual colouring of the old episode made it look green screen before large-scale green screen filming was actually done. In fact, it looks a lot like Sanctuary in many ways.
Well, it weren't Matt, it were his younger brother, Doug. On the subject of email...
Just say the word.
Open the iris.
Do we have an email?
We don't have any email on the Gatecast email.
I think we can give the 96th commentary a miss, if only for pronunciation reasons.
Yeah, there really wasn't much there. I think we did everything else last week, didn't we?
Shibble, I can't even. Central Hawke's Bay.
Yeah, that's Nye from New Zealand, I think.
Yeah, because I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that first name.
Well, that's why I asked how you pronounce it and just says it rhymes with die.
The actual Facebook name is CHBILIBRARIES. I'm not going to touch that.
Library is Central Hawke's Bay. It's wherever she works, isn't it, basically?
Probably. Yeah, we did that because I got told that Adriana heard herself on Saturday's episode. Because we got her to read out that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because you were going to think, oh, I didn't. I'm sure I'd remember anything.
Did I release the wrong episode? I've actually finished editing an episode and then thought, hang on a minute, is that the right one? And then I rushed to Wiki thinking, no, please don't. Aragorn's girl, Abby Rose, tweeted us, "Hi, guys, love the cast, keep up the great eps." I thanked her for that, and she said, "I could do with a little less drooling over Sam, but that's my only complaint."
So that's why you said it?
Yeah. I'm going to say, I mentioned that Adriana joined us. Like, I'm quite welcome to have a female guest host as well as a male. Say, we've had just as much, maybe more feedback from female listeners than male. I told her that, and she said, "I feel that you should have a girl on the cast every once in a while so we can get a little love for Michael Shanks." We better hurry up, because he'll be taking a break soon. And she says she might actually decide to join us one week, which will be...
Yeah, I can see the app mentions.
Yeah.
I may throw my hat in the ring.
I say, so not a lot of feedback this week.
Yeah, we'll keep going anyway. Mere lack of feedback won't stop us.
Come try ya!
Next week, and here we have the probably horrendous blog, which I haven't read yet, because I only took the thing out of the box just before we started recording. On the eve of her birthday, Cassandra has shown signs of mind fire. A powerful electric magnetic field triggered at puberty. Now SG-1 must find a cure to stop the life-threatening change before she destroys herself and the command center. I don't even remember that one at all. It's quite possible I didn't actually see that one.
Ah, you're in for a... Well, I won't say you're in for a treat, but it's not a bad episode, because the character of Cassandra is all right. And we get a bit of Gould action.
Ooh, we get Gould who gets some action. Fair enough.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
Please, let me try and help you.
You can't.
A virus strikes Dr. Fraser's daughter.
I want you to fight this.
Its symptoms are linked to an arch enemy.
As part of some sort of experiment she was conducting.
That sounds like a ghoul.
Now, with no cure in sight.
I'm changing into something.
Strange powers grow within.
Cassandra's becoming some form of advanced human.
While her life keeps slipping away. And the one person who can save her...
We'll find her.
...is more than evil.
If she dies, so do you.
It's SG-1's worst fear.
Look out!
Richard Dean Anderson stars on the next Stargate SG-1.
If you need to email us, the email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. If you need to find the podcast, somebody gave it to you, you got it through an online subscription, we're on iTunes as Gatecast. We're also listed on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. If you want to leave feedback, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us feedback on the website, that's gatecast.phasecast.com. There is the Facebook group, which is The Gatecast. And finally, you can also tweet us. We're The Gatecast on Twitter as well. That's pretty much it, folks. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And as always, all feedback is welcome. Refer to about 30 seconds ago to find out how.
Okay, then, that's The Gatecast for this week, folks. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.